Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It really does me good to know that this is one of the reasons why we have been able to impact the disease as much as we have with the money that we have raised. So it's going to be a great day for us. Looks like it's going to be a great weather day. This golf course where we've had this tournament over the last 12 years, I believe, is absolutely awesome. They're great hosts for us. We have literally over 150 golfers coming like we always do every year. And it's a great thing for us. It really, truly is. It's a celebration to raise as much money as we can, put a face on the disease, and then, of course, get together with old friends. And it's always a reunion type of event. You'll find that out because this is your first time here. And I'm sure a lot of my buddies will be, you know, getting after you a little bit.
Great.
So enjoy that. But I will say, yeah, I agree with you. The two baseball teams going two different ways. Now, right after we got off the air, essentially, they announced that Matt Harvey was going to be DFA'd and all that other stuff and goodbye and all that. And, you know, for me, who 4 years ago put a tweet out there, and I'd like to thank Laura on Twitter for reminding me, I had basically felt like he was going to be the next Tom Seaver, you know, for the Mets. That's what he was supposed to be. And he lived up to a lot of that early on in his career and became the Dark Knight and everything else. And, you know, part of him is he's his own worst enemy. There's no question about that. And I think most people will tell you that, you know, the fact that he didn't accept a demotion to the bullpen or did not accept a demotion down to the, you know, the AAA to work on his game probably turned a lot of people off. But he has every right not to do that because that's what they've, you know, negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement. I actually feel bad for the guy. I really do. I mean, going through Tommy John surgery and then thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, I mean, to come back from all of that, to be booed, to be, you know, to do what he did in L.A. and then have that written about and then the Mets finally having enough. I do appreciate Mickey Callaway saying that they failed Matt Harvey, not that Matt Harvey failed them.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's being nice with that, and I understand the empathy part of it, and I agree. He's dealing with a lot with both of those injuries, but what fans don't like to see is someone who deals with adversity this way. He goes to the bullpen kicking and screaming. Then he is asked by the Mets to go down and work on himself because they didn't want to give up on him, and he says no, and they had no choice. So really, that comeback story is the thing that we love the most. The guy who was at the top and then lost a bunch of stuff and then works his way back, and Matt Harvey could have been that guy, but he said no. So that's where he loses a lot of that. I feel bad for him. I mean, I agree, it's tough. I mean, both those injuries is really difficult to come back from, but the way he has handled this,
yeah, I mean,
he's
lost
a lot of people.
But that's why I said he's his own worst enemy at times. There's no question about that. But I also think there's always been this kind of like angst here with the Mets and Jeff Wilpon and everything else, and Sandy Alderson has tried to hold his feet to the fire a little bit, and that hasn't worked. And I think there's a little bit of a, like, you know, a disconnect there. I've always felt that way too
regarding Matt Harvey.
Yes, I mean, with Matt Harvey and the Mets, I don't think that he's very happy that he's playing for the Mets. Or, I mean, at one time I think he was, and then all of a sudden that stuff went south. And I think a lot of that might have had something to do with the whole innings limit stuff that he blew through and all that other stuff. So I think it's a really sad ending. But, you know, the thing about it is it's a new beginning for him, and he's got to find himself.
If he gets that opportunity.
Well, he will. Someday he will get another chance to get on that mound. I don't know whether it will be in 7 days or not. Who knows? But he has to now be Charlie Morton of the Houston Astros. He's got to be C.C. Sabathia of the Yankees. He's got to be Bartolo Colon. I mean, God, you know, these guys all got started a little bit later than Matt did. In terms of, you know, their, well, not Charlie Morton, but C.C. Sabathia was, you know, was a behemoth there for a long time, throwing 99-mile-an-hour fastballs, and then reinvented himself, and now is in the midst of one of the great runs in Yankee history.
Yeah, I think I like the comparisons with Bartolo Colon and C.C. Sabathia, even though those guys are older, because Charlie Morton, that one to me, I mean, the fact this guy's throwing 99 miles an hour, I don't think that Matt Harvey's going to be able to do that with those arm surgeries. And I want to say something, too, about someone going back and finding tweets about what you said about Matt Harvey. I saw so much of that on Friday, where you get these people that are digging through Twitter to find positive positive comments about Matt Harvey from years ago, or I would not trade Matt Harvey for this guy years and years ago, and then putting it back out there as if to say, look, you guys were stupid, you guys were idiots. At the time, this guy was a phenom, and the difference is with an organization like the Mets, where you get like one of these guys every couple of decades, you want to hang on to him. You want that guy to be around. You don't want to trade that guy. You want he meant so much to that team and the turnaround of that team, and he was the face, and he had the edge, and everything about him was great. You don't want to trade him for anybody, and I hate that when people go back and say, see, you should have dealt him, or look how stupid you were 4 years ago when the guy was at the top of his game and you said
you know what, it's almost like people take great joy in the fact that the guy got hurt,
right? I know,
and, you know, don't realize that I and I hate to say this because I know it's not the normal take. The normal take is get him out of here, he sucks and he can't play for us, and I understand that's the emotional thing, that's the way we are as fans, but I also there's another side of me that really does empathize with what the hell he's dealing with. And, you know, and watching people like take great joy in somebody failing or falling on their face, to me, is a little bit, I think, disingenuous. And the fact that you would refer to tweets back 4 years ago or 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, for that matter.
Right. I mean, everybody's just ready to pounce in situations like that.
I will say this, though. You know, he's 29 years old. Charlie Morton is what, 34?
I don't know. I don't know.
CeCe Sabathia about 37.
Yeah.
You know, Bartolo Colon is over 40. You know, you can't sit here and say that in 2 years' time he won't find it again after he is removed a couple years from all these injuries and comes to grips with who he is and what he has available to still give another team.
Yeah.
I don't know where he'll be in 2 years. Maybe he'll flame out. Maybe he'll be his own worst enemy. I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope he finds his game somehow. But I didn't take great joy in the Mets cutting him. You know, on Friday.
No, it was a sad type of feeling. Like, wow, look how far he has fallen to this situation. But I am happy, though, right now that it's over. That it's over and they're moving on from this. Because this was a distraction that a bad team doesn't need.
Yeah, you know, Jerry said this morning. He goes, I'd much rather would have seen Matt Harvey on the mound than Hansel Robles. Right. Now, Hansel Robles, before they sent him back down because they were moving Harvey and they had to move around some players.
It was okay.
Rosters was okay, and then all of a sudden reverted back to what he was last year.
Yeah, so I don't know. Hansel Robles, Matt Harvey, Jose Lobaton. There's too many guys that the Mets have right now that are key cogs in their team, and Harvey, we know now, is gone, that are just horrendous, and that's the problem. They have so many issues right now from top to bottom in this order. There isn't a guy you can trust anywhere. DeGrom is going to miss the start. I think it's smart today. You got PJ Conlon coming up. I thought it was going to be Oswalt, but I guess he was just pathetic in his last start. So now they're bringing in Conlon. So you've got that. Yoenis Cespedes is hurt again. Noah Syndergaard was okay in his last start, but the previous one to that, he got hammered. There isn't a guy on the roster you can trust. There's not someone up and down that lineup. Everybody stinks. Ahmed Rosario is a guy who can't hit anymore. They're playing one of the worst teams in baseball. They don't even have 10 wins yet. They got 8 wins, the Cincinnati Reds. If they can't get right against them, good night.
Well,
it is over. I don't even care if it's May.
Unfortunately for the Mets, they've been one of the worst teams since their 11-2 start, or 11-1 start, I should say. And now they've lost a 6-game homestand, basically out the window, and looked bad doing it. On the other side of town, however, Domingo Germán comes up and does something that only a Yankee would normally do. You know, like, well, I would love for the Mets pitcher today, PJ, what's his name?
Conlon.
Can we get one of our guys who's never started a major league game come up here and throw 6 innings of no-hit baseball? Could that ever happen? Or is he going to get lit up like in the first 2 innings?
Yeah, I know.
Because that would be the prevailing thought for every Met fan today.
Of course it is.
Turn the TV on and be down 6-0 after 2.
I mean, it really is amazing.
But if PJ Conlon was pitching against the Mets, he'd have a no-hitter going into the 7th inning. So it would be nice to have one of our guys who's nobody's ever heard of come up here and actually do that tonight against a horrendous lineup. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I just – You have one side of it. I just want to say this to Mickey Callaway. Welcome to managing the New York Mets. You know, because this is now what you're going to have to deal with. And here comes all the negative down on your team, on your head. And it's not really much he can do about it. I mean, he's trying to mess with the lineup. He's trying to, try to get this team jump-started offensively. I don't think pitching has been all that bad. But at the end of the day, if they're not hitting, it really doesn't matter because the pitching staff is not good enough to hold one or two run leads right now.
Yeah, I feel like the pitching is worse than you're giving it credit for because DeGrom is the one guy I really trusted because Syndergaard has not been, I guess with all the hype coming in and he's back off the injury and the hair and everything else, you expect him to dominate every start. He's just not. And they were talking about on the broadcast, Keith and Gary, he's not throwing a lot of fastballs anymore. It's breaking ball, breaking ball, breaking ball. And maybe because he got lit up by the Braves when he was throwing 98 and they were smacking it around. But I'm just thinking, like, he didn't have any confidence on the mound yesterday. It just, the whole team has just got this weird feel around it that I did not expect coming from this group with all the confidence they had coming out of spring training and their start.
Yeah, well, it is without question. To me, a crisis of like a 10.10 magnitude. You know what I mean? It's and this is something that Mickey Callaway will now live, like every other manager or every other player that has come through the Mets system, has gone through somewhere along the way. And this is crisis management 101. And I think it's not like he's sitting back. I mean, he's trying to do whatever he can. But this is when people say, be careful taking the Mets job.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Well, this is it right
here.
This
is it.
Right. And you said it. How do you stop it? Is it positivity from Frazier and Callaway? Is it hoping that you get something, an infusion of youth from P.J. Conlon? Is it the fact that Yoenis Cespedes is not going to go on the DL, hopefully, now with this injury and comes back and he goes on a tear? Is it waiting for this lineup to wake up? I don't know what the answer is, but you can look back and say when you win 11 out of 12 in the majors at any point of the season, that means that they're capable of at least being somewhat competitive and being a decent team. Is that it? Is that all we're going to see? And this is just a landslide with them? I mean, I can't give up on them now. But just as the Yankees are winning games every which way, the Mets are losing games
I kind of feel like the Mets are where the Yankees were the first 2.5-3 weeks of the season.
Well, they're worse because they're losing every single game. At least the Yankees were 500. You know?
Right, but the thing is, when you're winning 15 of 16 and you coming in and doing what Herman did yesterday, and then Gleyber Torres doing what he did at the end of the game, I mean, it's like everybody's had a turn basically at the had a chance to win a baseball game for the New York Yankees, and all of these different guys are coming through where all the Mets in that lineup have not come through. Think about it, just think about the dichotomy of the two teams. One is an older team who's kind of lost its way right now. They have a couple of injuries that they're dealing with. They had the Matt Harvey meltdown and all that other stuff. And then you have the other team. The other team is young. The other team is vibrant. The other team is exciting. The other team is confident. For all those people who think that the Yankees are going to add Matt Harvey, why, if you're Brian Cashman, in your wildest dreams, would you even think about adding Matt Harvey and upsetting and bringing that circus to the Bronx? All these years since the Bronx Zoo, since the book The Bronx Zoo with Reggie and Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner and all that crap, the Yankees have tried to stay away from that. And then, of course, they went through the A-Rod Zoo and all that kind of crap. The last thing that the Yankees need right now is the distraction. The constant questions. Could you imagine Aaron Judge answering questions about Matt Harvey?
No, there's no way.
No way they're going to add him. You can't do that.
Well, that's a take that lingers back all the way from when the Mets were really, really at the top of their cheapness and Matt Harvey was still good and everybody thought when he'd hit free agency, he'd go to the Yankees. And it still lingers. And now that he's available, people think that'll happen. Mets fans are afraid that if he turns it around in a Yankee uniform, that'd be the worst thing that ever happened.
You know what they're doing?
Forget about it. Don't worry about it.
Mets fans are thinking David Cone. Mets fans are thinking, or Yankee fans, or whoever is discussing
this.
He's going to turn into David Cone, or he's going to, Doc Gooden, or he's going to be
good for him if he does,
or he's going to be Daryl Strawberry. I don't know. So in other words, the Yankees will take an ex-Met off the scrap heap, and somehow, some way, that guy will be effective for the Yankees. I don't think this year, right now, that would be the case for the New York Yankees.
You can't have it both ways if you're a Mets fan. You can't say, "Well, we got to get Harvey out of here. I can't take it. He doesn't want want to go down to the minors, cut him, see you, it's over, and then worry about him going to the Yankees. You can't do that, because if you think he's that bad, you don't want him on the team, and he's a jerk, then let him go to the Yankees, because it's basically like putting a wet rag over that entire clubhouse.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think Brian Cashman would even remotely consider something like this. I'm sure that Boris is probably asking general managers right now around the league for a favor.
Bribing
do
him.
Me a favor. Do me a favor. Pick this guy up once they get through the 7 days, where if the Mets can't trade him, then all of a sudden, he becomes an unrestricted free agent and he can go wherever he wants.
Well, here's the other part of it. If he's not going to accept an assignment down to the minor leagues with the Mets, is there a team out there that's that desperate to put him on the major league roster? Just have him there? I mean, honestly, is there a team that desperate that's going to have Matt Harvey either be a starting pitcher or a cog in their bullpen right now with the way that he's pitched?
I almost feel like Matt Harvey, and I only do this by looking at the body language and just listening to all the crap that's been written about him over the last couple of weeks, that he should just get away from all this, honestly.
Yeah.
Get away from all of it and start fresh next year.
It's a contract year, though.
Right. I don't think he will.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's a contract year. You have to fight back and show something this year to be able to get paid. If he takes the rest of the year off, no one's ever going to sign him. You saw what happened to guys who had great walk years last year going into the offseason.
Yeah, I'm just talking about from a mental standpoint, being refreshed or whatever. I don't know exactly what he's thinking. It's hard to really put your finger on it. I know that he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and I get that because he is a very proud, player. And there was a moment there where he was at the top of the league. He was the face of the league literally for about a year and a half.
Well, the problem is he still thinks that he is. I mean, with his actions, he still thinks that he is, and he deserves that respect. So good luck finding a landing spot. If you're that bad on the field and you're that screwed up in the head, no one's going to want to deal with that. I don't even care if you're the team in last place, first place, you're 500, no one's going to want to deal with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.